Hi, and welcome to Five Compelling Questions with Sean. This is the podcast where we speak with writers about writing. Today, my guest is Joseph Souza. How you doing, Joe?
Very good. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad that you're here. I feel like I know you really well, but obviously I don't. But I feel like I know you through your writing, and I'm a huge fan, and I get to work with you now as your editor. That's really cool.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm excited to work with you guys. Very excited.
Me
And I feel
too.
like I know you too, seeing you all over social media. So it's mutual.
Yeah. I remember I edited like a short story of yours many years ago, and then now we're working on a novel, and that's, you know, and you're such a good writer and I'm just such a fan. So it's really cool that we get to hang. So I'm going to give you a brief intro. Joe is the award-winning and best-selling author of 10 novels and a book of short stories. He has degrees from Northeastern University and the University of Washington. The main literary award, and was a runner-up of the Al Blanchard Award. And that one I know for sure, because that was the New England one that I was involved with. I actually met Al back in the day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's worked as a teacher, cabbie, social worker, truck driver, editor, bouncer, barber, wrestling coach, paralegal, and intelligence analyst in the DEA, Organized Crime Unit, to name just a few jobs. You sound like me. I've been all over the place, too.
Yeah.
He lives in Maine with his wife and two children, but we're not going to tell you exactly where because you've had way too many. Hopefully people don't know where you are exactly. Because of the
Well,
whole
thank
heat.
God my children don't live with me anymore. They moved out, which is even better. My son's out in Hollywood doing movies, and my daughter moved out and lives nearby. So
nice. Oh, that's cool. That's very cool. Yeah. Well, I worked in bars, the bar scene too. So we have some stuff in common, but the Hollywood connection is neat. So today we're going to talk about your upcoming book, The Anchorman's Wife. Yeah.
Yes.
So tell us about the book.
This book was this was probably one of the hardest books I've ever written. It was a labor of love. The first version I had, I loved it. I thought it was the greatest book that I've ever written. I turned it into my agent and I hate it. He said, I don't like this book, but I still love the book. There was a subplot in the book that just didn't work for him. He liked part of it. So I spent the next 5 years tinkering away with this book. And usually I don't write a book that long, but this book I never gave up on. If you want to say there is perseverance with this book, I kept changing it. I kept working on this. I totally deleted the subplot in this book, completely rewrote it, completely changed a lot aspects of the book. And then when I finally handed it to him 5 years later, he said, Joe, I love this book. This is great. And we sent it out to you and you guys loved it. And the rest is history. But this one was a tough one for me, a real labor of love that I stuck with. I never gave up on, never put in the drawer and never forgot about it. I kept working on this one. And finally it panned out.
Well, that's so interesting that, you know, you say that because by the time it gets to me, I didn't know that whole, you know, the pregnancy was very long to get to me. That's really interesting because I only had a few notes really about the story, and I thought it was really great. But that just shows that you worked really hard on it.
Yeah, and your editing was fantastic, and it helped me change and see things that I hadn't been able to see, which really made the book a lot better. So I thank you for your input with that. That was fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you so much. So give us a brief overview of the story. Just don't give anything away. There's a lot
yeah,
of twists.
Well,
and
yes,
turns
that's the
and,
problem about writing mysteries, especially my books, is that you really can't talk much about them because you end up giving away. And I've done that before in a group and in a talk. But it's basically about a woman named Shay. She comes from a dysfunctional past. The book takes place in the Boston area, and she's married an anchorman, Gideon Wells. And he's a little bit older than her, and he's dysfunctional, she's dysfunctional. They both grew up dysfunctional and they ended up being together. I sort of modeled him as a Ted Baxter type. So he's a little bit comical in that way. So I had to kind of tone down the comical on him a little bit. But what happens is that she gets attacked. She's a very loving person, and she gets attacked outside a soup kitchen one day. She was volunteering. And it really messed with her head. She had PTSD. She had some memory issues. And so one day, they decided to get rid of their maid that who'd been working them for a long time. They hired this new maid that comes into the family and to help them. And so what basically Shay is trying to understand who attacked her that night, because the person who attacked her said they were near and dear to her, and they would get her daughter. She has a daughter named, who's blind. And so the first part of the story involves her trying to figure out what's going on. Why is my memory not coming back? Why do I have this PTSD? And from there, the story takes off. I can't really say anymore without giving away a lot of the twists and turns, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a very cool premise, like the beginning of it. And they are dysfunctional, but it's so very realistic. You know,
Right.
the characters are built and fleshed out real well. And I mean, of course, I loved it, but yeah, and I'll have a question for you about character, so we won't talk about that yet. So my first official question is, you know, you're an established author, you're really, really great. You have a lot of books out, you've won awards. How did your writing career get started in the first place?
You know, I think I've been born with this need to tell stories, and I didn't really know it right away. I'm one of those persons that I see someone out in the street doing something, and I create a story. Like I drive down the street and I name every person, I come up with names for them. Every time I see something, there's a narrative in my head of what's going on. I make up a story. I didn't really realize that was going on when I was younger. I mean, I kind of did, but I didn't. So I have a million stories. People say, oh, it's hard to write a novel. It's hard for me not to write one because I have all these stories going on in my head. Like I said, I see someone walking and talking on the street or having an argument. I make up a story about it. Initially started, you know, when I was in college, reading John Irving, John Updike, all the great authors. I read a book. I sincerely remember reading William Martin's, for whatever reason. It's a good book. But for that reason, I decided I was going to write. It was the Back Bay by William Martin. And I grew up in Boston. It takes place history in Boston. I said, I could write something like this. So I started doing short stories, terrible short stories, copying all the authors that I love. And it just took off from there. I never really took any official, you know, I never really took any official writing classes. I just started writing. And I had all these experiences. I worked on the docks in Northeast and South Boston. And I worked for the DEA, an organized crime unit, and that became the case I worked on became the Enrique Camarena story. I worked in a law office in Boston, and I worked specifically on this case about the Woburn. There was a case called, I can't remember the movie. It was the movie with where all the children got poisoned in Woburn. The book was fantastic. I'm drawing a blank on the name of the book, but the movie starred John Travolta about we defended W.R. Grace, and they dumped all these trichloroethylene barrels of trichloroethylene in the back, and it filtered into the water system.
Yeah, I remember that movie.
And the kids got poisoned from it. And I worked on that, and I saw these lawyers asking, like, these families, how much bacon does your kid eat? I was going to become a lawyer. I got into law school, and I remember these lawyers interviewing and said, how much bacon does your kid eat? I'm thinking, oh, my God, I can't do this. This is, you know. It's clearly, I was dealing with these photographs of these barrels in the ground that they dumped that were getting into the well system. So I had all these, you know, working in kitchens, working in Boston, driving a cab. I did all these blue collar, white collar editing. And I just had all these stories in my mind, and all these characters just came to life. And I started writing. I started doing short stories. I wrote that short story for you guys. I wrote one initially for Level Best Anthology that got published. And then I wrote the one, the Whitey Bulger one. And then from there, I'm going to start writing novels because I just wanted to expand on these stories and characters, all these characters I've met and known on the waterfront and in the cabs and everywhere in my life.
Yeah, well, it comes through. It's definitely, I think that's why your stories are so rooted. They ring true because they are, you know, they're from those real life experiences. You sound a lot like me. I've done every other job you could, you know, think of, and it informs your fiction because you've run into a lot of different kinds of people and listen to the way they speak and, you know, the experiences they had. And I think it's all, you know, it's great. Well, that's
it was a valuable experience. I grew up poor. So all that was a valuable experience, working hard, working all these jobs and teaching. I taught in the inner city, and I had all these experiences I've dealt with, you know, I've dealt with highbrow to lowbrow to middle. And so I've had all these experiences with all these different people that I can relate to. And I feel like it served me well in my fiction.
Absolutely. Yeah. For sure. And I remember that movie, that John Travolta, because it was kind of like Air Brockovich kind of, but it was different, but it was like that
full
vibe. I remember the movie and I could picture okay, we'll have to look it up. We'll add it in later.
Yeah. Okay.
So this book is very unique, and I don't think you've worked in a TV station. Maybe you have. But what was the lightning bolt inspiration for you to sit down and write The Anchorman's Wife?
I wanted to write a book about, I'm really interested in family relationships, and I'm really interested in family. For example, like in The Sopranos, a lot, much of it is about family. So I love stories with families, family relationships. And it really, the idea came out of how well do we know each other? How well do we know our family? How well do we know our husband, our wife? Like, I wanted to explore that in a way, in using a famous anchorman that's on TV and that has a bit of fame. And fame is a big part of this book, and about, dealing with fame and wanting fame. So that's another reason why I use this book, use the the anchorman in Boston. I know Boston so well, like the back of my, although it's changing quite a bit. So that was it. It was an exploration not only with twists and turns, but about family and dealing with family and how well do we know each other, and the different dysfunctional relationships. I came from a family of six kids and father, like just a good upbringing, but crazy upbringing. And so, one kid can be so different from another kid, and that we're all so different. And how do we know each other? And how do we relate to each other? And the blind daughter, the blindness was a signal of that she can know things that we don't because she's blind. So getting to know who's who, and she's a character that I had that to expand. Because I find about writing, one of the things about writing, it's not necessarily writing the book that's the hard part for me. The hard part for me when writing a novel is why sometimes I use a lot of different characters, except when I'm not writing in the first person, is how do I tell my story? That's the hardest thing that for me is like when I set to do a story, do I do it in the first person? Do I do it in multiple per, when you're telling a story with a lot of red herrings and you have to go around different viewpoints, you have to bring in different characters into the story. And you have to know how much that character is going to tell and how much this character is going to tell so that you're not telling the whole story and giving away the twists and turns and what's going to happen. Sometimes the story will be in the first person. I understand that. Sometimes I use first person, third person in all my stories. I try to get very creative with my point of view. But for me, the point of view is the hardest thing to figure out when I'm sitting down to write a story. I agonize over point of view, where to go with the point of view without so that I know what kind of story it's going to be. You have to understand what kind of story it's going to be before you can decide what your point of view is in a story.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was actually one of my next questions. That was my next question. What's the most difficult part of writing for you? And then you kind of answered that. So what is the easiest part for you?
Well, writing that first draft is difficult for me. Although writing that first draft is, I write it so fast. I have this crazy system in my head where I, when I'm writing, I haven't written in a while. I'm doing some editing, but I, and this is just totally random, but I have to write 1,300 words a day. Absolutely every single day, I have to write. I don't know where 1,300 words came up. I have a banking system. I have Joe Sousa banking system. So if I write 5,000 words extra, I can take Saturday or Sunday off. If I don't, I have to write extra those days, but I have it on the calendar. By this week, I have to have so many words written. But I really love the editing, and the editing takes me a longer time, but I love the end because then it frees me from the creation process of bringing nothing, something out of nothing. And with the editorial process, I can bring in sub themes. I can relax. I can think better about my story. I can add more elements into it, more subtlety, a little bit of comedy. So I really enjoy the editing. Where I don't like the editing is in the last few phases when I'm checking every sentence, every word, and I'm so sick of this novel, I never want to read it again. I've never gone back and read one of my novels fully because I can't go back and read it. I'm just so tired of it. But that
Yeah.
last couple stages are just sort of the boring cross, the T's crossed, the I's, the yours, the theirs, the theirs. But I love the first few developmental edits of a book.
No, that's cool. That's an interesting process. I like your banking system. That's you're very it seems OCD, like, definitely you
Yes,
gotta have it done. But
I
you get
am.
the books done. You get it written, because I think with you can either be too hard on yourself or not hard enough, and it's very hard
But
to
if I
find
get on
that.
a good flow, I'll go 5,000 words, or I'll go, I don't stop at 13. I'll go, but I have to have 13 minimum. Even if I write
Books.
the 10 times or 100 times just to get to
Like Jack Nicholson. So
that.
you're starting to scare
Exactly.
that'll scare everybody,
Don't tell my wife that.
light of my life. So how many words have you written in a day? What's your record? You know?
In a day,
Yeah.
I think I've maybe 7 to 10,000 once
Yeah.
when I just went on a just on a caffeinated rip that I
Yeah.
just kept going. And when you get in the zone, you can't stop. You know, when you get in that zone, you got to keep
That's
going. It's like when you're playing golf or you're in bowling, you just got to keep going and
got
don't
to keep
stop.
going. Yeah, and that
Keep
way you
rolling
can.
that dice. You know, when you're playing 21, you don't get off that table.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can like go for a week on vacation to like Mexico or something because you're in the bank. You got like
Yeah.
8,000. No, I
But the
think
funny thing about that is that after I go back and read it, when I get in the zone and I write that, I don't go back and read anything. I go straight through. I don't even go back and read it. But when I go back for the first time and read it, I go, where did that come from? So I think you really have to let your subconscious, I think part of it is letting your subconscious really rip. So like when I, for my novels, I have tent poles of where I want to be, but I'm able to move those tent poles depending on how the situation changes. But I think you got to really let your subconscious, you know, I don't like having every single detail marked out, blueprinted out in a book. I like having a little leeway because you've got to let your subconscious come through. Because I think that's one of the most important things about writing is letting that really, letting that come out of your system.
yeah, the passion. Yeah.
Yes.
So, you write from both male and female perspectives in this particular book. Do you find it challenging to write from a female perspective, or how do you develop the voice of a character in general?
I find it very difficult to write in the woman. I you know, I watch shows, I read articles, I try to do it. I try to understand the female psyche. Obviously, you know, I've been married a long time, so I'm still working on it. But it's definitely, you know, you have to keep your eyes and ears open. You have to read, you have to, you know, I'm trying to do my best. I hope I do a good job at it. But it definitely is a challenge. I could write mostly in male, which would be easier, but I love the family dynamics of a story. And I love the challenge of writing in a female point of view. And that's why I have a really supportive writers group that'll, you know, with two other people, one's a woman, another's a man, who will help me and give me feedback and say, that she would never do that.
Yeah,
She would never say that. It's like, oh, okay, great. You know?
that's good to have. It's good to have supportive friends who aren't your family, basically, to
Right.
help you like to cover, you know, uncover those kinds of things that you need to when you're constructing a character. That's awesome. All right, well, fifth question. What do you hope readers will take away after reading this book or any of your books? What is that you're trying to achieve? When someone's reading your book, what do you want them to come away with?
You know, that's a really interesting question. I'm not sure I've ever been asked that before, oddly enough. You know, when you write mysteries, I don't want to just write a mystery you know, just to keep people entertained. I want people to get a little bit more out of the family dynamics and realize how dysfunction and how the past influences people's lives and how they can make bad decisions. We can all make bad decisions. And fortunately, on the feedback in this book, I'm getting that. People are saying this is more than just a page turner. This is something to really chew on. And I'm really those comments on some of the reviews lately have really been really I've really been happy with because I do want people to take something away. I want people to come away with not just an entertainment where they throw it away and forget it 5 minutes later, but people are thinking about it a little after and thinking about their relationships with their spouses, you know, think with their children and their lives and how every decision in the past. I mean, we think about our past. You know, one small decision, you wouldn't be married to who you are today. You wouldn't be where you are today. I mean, you think about someone, you know, for me, one small making a decision, I wouldn't be where I am today with my wife and kids. And so that to me always resonates and is very powerful. So every decision is important in life, and every decision affects every outcome.
Yeah, that's why it's I always try to live with no regrets because you know it's easy to go back and say, oh, I should have taken that job or whatever, but then you wouldn't be here, you
Yeah.
know,
I have no
it's
regrets. Yeah. I don't have to look back and say I have regrets. I look back and say, this is the course I've taken, and you can only go forward, you
yeah,
know?
choose your own adventure in life.
Exactly. It's made you who you are today.
Yeah,
You know,
absolutely.
it's
And
made
the
you the
hard
person you are.
and I always feel like sometimes the harder, the more difficult times have been more beneficial to create who you are today, you know, because you put through challenges and then you end up being stronger on the other side for whatever reason.
Exactly. Yep.
Human nature. Yeah.
Right.
Well, you did a great job on the questions, I have to say
Thank you. This is
that.
fun. I enjoy this.
Oh, good. So what's
Fun.
going on? So what's up next for you? Are you writing more books? Are we what can we look forward to? Are you going on?
It's funny because, well, not funny. I haven't really written anything in about 2 years. And the reason why is because during COVID, well, I wouldn't say 2 years, but during COVID, when everything slowed down, I had probably the most creative burst in my life of writing books. I wrote and I wrote and I wrote. There was nothing else to do for 2 years, and I wrote. So I have a trilogy about a serial killer, a woman who works with children, with orphan children, who is a serial killer in Portland, Maine, a trilogy that is pretty much all completed. I have an AI psychological thriller involving an AI. I have a story about a woman's daughter who get a writer. She's a literary writer whose daughter gets kidnapped. And the ransom is she has to write a best-selling thriller in a month if she wants to get her daughter back. I have another novel about a school shooting that happened 20 years ago. So I have all these novels. I'm kind of picking away and editing them. They're in various states. They're almost all done, but I'm kind of polishing these novels up. But I'm really excited about the serial killer one. It's a really fascinating trilogy about this woman who grew up in Portland, Maine, and she's has works with orphan children, and but she has this secret desire to kill not just anyone but bad people. But she'll
Yeah.
do anything to if she has to kill someone to not to and she's in a very troubled marriage, but she wants to maintain, she wants to be there with her son. So she's not above getting rid of someone who is going to separate her from her son, meaning she goes to jail. So I have all these cool projects, and I have all these other projects I want to start on, but I have to complete and polish all these other works first. So my mind is always, my son gave me a great idea out in Hollywood as well. Do you have time? I can just explain it really quick. I haven't written it, but it,
Yeah,
do you
go
have a,
for it.
yeah, so,
Unless you don't want to give the you don't want to give your $1 million plot
no,
away.
I don't care. It's like giving a recipe out. You know what I mean? Go ahead. Go. Good luck doing it at home. I met Julia Childs one day. She gave me a recipe, sent me the recipe, and I lost it about
Oh.
when I was a young guy. But anyways, so he works out in Hollywood, and because they have the writer's strike, he's struggling to get work. So he got hired by this company. He didn't take the job, but the company was basically an AI company that super wealthy people pay this company a ton of money for him to direct, write, and bring actors on to recreate their lost loved ones, the dead people, their
Oh
mothers, their
my.
fathers. So I thought, wow, wouldn't that be a great idea for a book where you're manipulating someone through, talking to a dead person, and they could say what they want their will to do and who they love and who they don't love. So with
Yeah.
this new AI, I have a book that's finished with an AI character. The AI to me is a fascinating development in the arts and creativity. And the writer's strike, that's one of the major demands. They want to make sure that AI doesn't take their jobs. I think they just settled today, but it's a
Yeah.
huge, huge aspect of books. They're writing books. Did you see where Amazon just listed, you can only list three books on Amazon now
A
because
day.
AI was writing, there were people pumping books on Amazon all day.
It's crazy.
It's
Yeah,
crazy.
we're in a new era. That is so, well, and I've been a Beatles fan my entire life. Like since I was, I mean, I'm a huge still Beatles fan. And they're like, "Oh, we're gonna do another song with John singing." I'm like, "No, don't
I
just."
saw that.
It creeps me out. I mean, it's like
That's so
cool. It's
morbid.
cool in some ways, but it's also like super creepy. And like, I think we're toying around with something very scary. You know, it seems to
Well, you
me in some
think
ways. You know.
if the publishers in the music industry can get a hit song out there and they don't have to
Yeah.
pay any royalties, same with the book, and it's we're not there yet, but in 10 years, if they're
Yeah.
writing the next Jonathan Franzen or writing the next big novel, they don't have to pay any royalties, which,
Yeah.
is a
I
big
know.
thing.
Yeah, and it's I can tell from the work that I have to do behind the scenes as a publisher, it's impacting the industry because everything is messed up right now. Like everything is
Yes.
messed up right now. Like things are not working the way they should be.
No.
You know, everyone that it's like there's a lot of sand in the works, I guess. The works are all gummed up.
Right.
Because it's like, you know, I don't usually have to contact our people every single day to get stuff done. That's just what should be happening. So yeah, it's a mess. I am glad
Yep.
about the writer's strike being over. I have friends in the industry and I'm really happy that they're hopefully going to be done. Hopefully it's a good deal and they're all set. I know it's still new. They're just started talking about it, but yeah,
Yeah, me
that's
too,
great.
because I don't want my son calling me for money.
I, we're
Tell
coming
him to
home
get
this.
it.
Yeah, coming home to stay again for a while.
Yes.
Anyway, well, it's been a pleasure to chat with you. No, you're
Nice talking
awesome.
to you.
Yeah, you're awesome. We have so much in common. I love this.
Oh, good. That's great.
Yeah. So, everyone needs to run out and get The Anchorman's Wife. It will be out s shortly. And find Joe and find all of his other works, and his short stories are brilliant as well. And yeah, we look forward to everything else you're up to. It sounds like you got a whole basement full of books we're going to be getting soon, so that'll be great.
Good. Yeah, I hope so. That'd be awesome. Yeah, love that.
Right. Have a good rest of your week.
Okay, thank you, Sean. Thank you for having
Thanks.
me on your show.
Thanks for being here. You're always welcome. The door is always open for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.